Psalm 31. Whenever I come to this psalm, a couple of things that stand out to me. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Isn't that glorious? My times, everything about me, they're in his hand. And I think of verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Who said that? Those are the words of the Lord Jesus, his last statement. As a matter of fact, all seven of those statements are found in the Old Testament. Now let's read this psalm together. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which has wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, For he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Lord, we ask by thy grace that we would be enabled to enter in to this psalm, and that we might be of that number who hope in the Lord. Speak to us for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Give us the grace to look only to him. Lord, speak to each heart here. Meet each need here according to your riches and glory. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Lord, as we look toward this coming year, we look in anticipation because our times are in thy hand. And Lord, we're thankful. Now bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. You know, you can't help but notice in the reading of that psalm that the psalmist goes through about every range of emotion, doesn't he? As you look at everything David says. Now, in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of absolute trust. I love to think of trusting in him in such a way as you're carefree. He's worthy of that trust. He's utterly faithful. He is worthy for every one of us to be enabled by his grace to say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. That means two things. Let me never be put to shame. Never let me be exposed. And never let me be ashamed. Cause me to always be proud of thy gospel. Not proud of myself, but proud of the gospel. I love what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let me be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now, the only way that can be understood is understanding the gospel. Not just deliver me in your mercy or your grace, but in your righteousness. You see, every believer has the righteousness of Christ as their personal righteousness before God. And we can truly say, deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. What a request. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, for Christ's sake, lead me and guide me. Now, don't you want this for yourself, for the Lord to lead you and for the Lord to guide you? And he does it for his name's sake. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Now, David had people who plotted his destruction. And aren't you thankful that even those people who may plot your destruction are in the Lord's hand? Everybody's in the Lord's hand. And that's why David said, pull me out of the net that they've privily in secret laid for me for my destruction. And then he says in verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit, And that's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, his last words from the cross. And what you want to know what faith is? The Lord completely entrusted himself to his Father. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you and I can do the same thing just now? Into thy hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. I'm safe in your hands. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now, I love to think of redemption. It doesn't say you've offered redemption to me if I'll take it. It said you have redeemed me. And I love the way he says, O Lord God of truth. You know, there isn't anything that demonstrates the truth of God like his redeeming work. Every attribute of God is displayed by his redeeming work. Thou hast redeemed me. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. And I just think about this, saints. He has redeemed you. What could be better than that? He's redeemed you. All your sins are paid for. They're put away in a way that magnifies his truth. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another in his redemption. Now he says in verse 6, I've hated them that regard lying vanities. Jonah said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now what he's talking about, this is the Lord speaking, and he's talking about somebody who trusts something other than himself. What they're doing is they're regarding lying vanities, things that have no salvation in them. And the Lord says, I've hated them. Now, how can the Lord speak that way? Because it's the Lord. He said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, me and you can't do that. He does. This is out of regard to his Father and love to his Father and seeing someone look somewhere other than what his Father has provided. He said, I've hated them that regard lying vanities. And that's what any form of salvation by works is. It's a lying vanity. But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Now look what he says. Now I know these are the words of the Lord, but these are the words of David, and these are the words of me and you. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And that's a promise to every believer. Whatever trouble you have, he's considered your soul in that trouble. He has known you. He has loved you throughout all your adversities. David had problems galore, didn't he? And he knew that. But he said, you've known me. You've considered my soul in adversities and has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room, speaking of liberty. Mine enemies cannot triumph. My sins cannot triumph. You set my feet in a large room, a spacious room of liberty and freedom. Now, he says in verse 8, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief. Now, these are the words of the Lord regarding his own life. He's the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He said, I've been afflicted. In Psalm 88, speaking of his own life, he said, I've been afflicted from my youth up. But this is David speaking. This is David speaking in his own experience. He says, my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength faileth. Why? Because of mine iniquity. Now that is Christ owning the iniquity of his people as his own. And it's the new man owning the iniquity of the old man. You know, the only time you ever truly confess your sin before the Father is when the new man owns it. The new man owns the sin of the old. He doesn't simply say, well, that was the old man. He said, that's my iniquity. And that's what the Lord said with regard to the sin that he took upon himself for his people. My bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. And I have no doubt that's the Lord talking about his disciples fleeing from him. Now look what David says. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. You know what David's saying? Nobody thinks about me. Nobody thinks about me. I'm isolated. I'm alone. I'm forgotten like a dead man. I'm like a broken vessel. I can't hold anything. I mean, whatever's poured in me is going to leak out. He felt so isolated. He felt so alone. Now, what is amazing to me is the Son of God felt that way on Calvary's tree. He was completely isolated, completely alone. His disciples had forsaken him. His Father had forsaken him, and he was alone. But this is a very real feeling that any of us can feel. This thing of being isolated, forgotten, forsaken, and alone. So David says in verse 13, for I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. David had this happen many times, slandered, death plots. And the Lord obviously was slandered and had death plots placed upon him. And how many of us have felt the sting of slander? Now the Lord did. Somebody slanders. But, verse 14, I trusted in thee. O Lord, I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Would you want them to be anywhere else? My times, my past, my present, my future, whatever it is involving time, it's in his hand. What a good place for the. Would you want them in your hand? No, you'd mess it up. But David could say with confidence, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. I've got enemies. My sins, they persecute me. I've got folks who wish me ill. You do too. But thank God, my times are in his hand, and we are promised this deliverance. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Now, if the Lord's face is shining on you, isn't everything okay? No matter what it is. I love what John Newton said. When blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove. If Jesus would dwell with me there. Oh, make your face, the face of favor, the face of grace, to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Now, this is an argument we can always use with the Lord. Lord, save me for your mercy's sake. Would not my salvation magnify how great and free and sovereign your mercy is? And this is an argument in prayer. Lord, save me for thy mercy's sake. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed. Let me not be put to shame. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Now, I was thinking about this. Every believer, oh my God, give us grace to enter into this. Every believer is justified before God. And every accusation against you is a lie. Now that's how real his righteousness is. Every accusation, every slander against you, it's not just overlooked, it's a lie. Because you stand absolutely righteous and perfect before God. And every accusation brought against you, it's a lie. Isn't that wonderful? That's what justification means. I stand perfect, righteous before God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? They're justified, and God justified them. Who is he to condemn me? Christ had died. There's nothing to condemn me for. And that's why he called these lying lips. He says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Now, if you're righteous, there's nothing to bring to your charge. But yet that's what he says these people are doing. He says in verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness. God's goodness. There's so many things we could say about it. I mean, look at the creation and you see God's goodness. Look at the beautiful sky. Look at the earth he's given us. God's goodness is seen in many ways, but that's not the way God's goodness is seen. God's goodness is seen in his capacity to save. God is good all the time. How great is his goodness, his capacity for mercy. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up. You've got a savings account. It's laid up by God himself. It's his goodness. That's a whole lot better retirement account than silver and gold, isn't it? His goodness laid up by him for you. And who is it laid up for? Them that fear thee. And I want to say this every time I talk about the fear of God. The only thing that demonstrates the fear of God is looking to Christ. You look to Christ only, it's because you have this fear and awe and reverence and respect for God. You look anywhere else, all you say by that is, I have no fear, reverence, awe, and respect of God. The fear of God is to look to Christ only, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You know, I want to trust in him before the sons of men, don't you? I want people to see my only hope is in Christ. And I say that before the sons of men. And I glory in that before the sons of men. You know, I repeat, I hope I'm saying this the right way. I'm proud of the gospel. I'm proud of the way God saves. It's worthy of God. It glorifies God. It's all I need to make me perfect. I am proud of the gospel. So is Paul. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now look what he says in verse 20. Thou shalt hide them. Everybody who fears you, everybody that looks to you only, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Now what a place to be hidden. The secret of his presence. It is secret to everybody else. Nobody else knows anything about it. But God's people know their hiding place is in Christ, who's in the very presence of God. I'm hidden in Him. He's in God's presence. That may be secret to everybody else, but it's very real to the believer. That's the only dwelling place there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what I'm hidden from. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Now, there's something that can't dwell in God's presence is pride. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I want to be hidden from the wicked pride that's in me. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion, in the tabernacle, from the strife of tongues. And that word strife has to do with law condemnation. It's not just talking about people speaking bitterly and in a strifeful way. That's talking about law condemnation. No condemnation can be brought up against the believer because I am perfect in Christ Jesus, hidden in Him. Blessed, verse 21. Now look how he's gone from so far down to so far up. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city, a fenced city of security, the city of God. Every believer is an inhabitant of this city. For I said in my haste, verse 22, how many things have you said in haste? A lot, haven't you? Said a lot of things in haste. A lot of things you wish you could pull back. You wish you'd never said it. David felt that way. I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. How many times have you said that in your haste? He's done with me. He's done with me. I said in my haste, I've been cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless. I read a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he entitled the sermon, Nevertheless. And he said the whole gospel is found in that word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake. Even though I popped off in my haste and said things that are so contrary to the gospel, He's cut me off. What a statement of unbelief. He's cut me off. Nevertheless, Thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto Thee. Oh, love the Lord. Is there any better exhortation than that? Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. Now, a saint is a holy one. A saint has the capacity to love the Lord. You know what? I love the Lord. Now, anytime we say that, we think, you don't love Him enough. I realize that. I don't love Him enough. My love is not what it ought to be. It's not what it's going to be one day. But I love who the Lord is, don't you? I love every one of His glorious attributes. I love the way He saves. I love Him. He's glorious. He's altogether lovely. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. Every single one of His saints are called upon to do this, to love the Lord. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. You know why you're not going to fall away? Because you're preserved. You know why you're faithful? Because He gave you the faith to be faithful. That's the only reason. He preserveth the faithful and He plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Now that is the description of the wicked. They're proud doers, proud of what they do. The Lord will reward them, and He will reward them plentifully. Now, look at this exhortation. Be of good courage. He says this to every one of His people. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, hope is a confident expectation with regard to the future. I have a hope that when my name is called on Judgment Day, Jesus Christ will answer for me, present and accounted for. I have a hope that it's all going to go well for me on Judgment Day, and it's because Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God, because he paid for my sins. He did it all. And I have a hope that everything between now and then is going to be working together for my good and his glory. Therefore, I have every reason to be of good courage, knowing he shall strengthen my heart, give me the grace to persevere, all that hope in the Lord. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? They all are, but I love that.